teaching from Romans 12, 1 through 2, continuing verse by verse through Romans. This is an amazing passage that we're coming into, actually this chapter. Kind of a shift with Paul. The Spirit gives you a very strong charge here on how to live. And it's very unique. You're told to live your life as worship of God. Now, have you ever thought of your life as being worship? Maybe you think only certain things are worship, like what we just did. We sang songs unto the Lord. We sang them together. Well, worship is adoration. It's showing respectful appreciation, and in its expression of love for God. So we do sing, we do that, but we also have here, live your life as doing that. I'm going to be reading it in a moment, but the Spirit says, do this, and He says, do it according to the will of God. This is very important. Going through Romans, I wanted you to think about being in God's classroom, the Apostle Paul guiding us by the Spirit. Important theology lessons have been presented. Now chapter 12, we're here. You know, think of Paul, he's pointing to the classroom door, so to speak. And he's telling you to do, to go do, get out and do certain things. And as I read, picture Paul telling you this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, because of the mercies of God, because by or through the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice set apart and acceptable to God, which is your rational service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will discern what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Prepare your heart for this sermon, living as worship. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you use me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word, to build us up. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now, one of the amazing privileges we have, that you have as a Christian, as a saved person, is the person of the Holy Spirit living in you. You know, a lot of times we can get confused on this. People think of the Holy Spirit like a power. Holy Spirit has power. God has power. Jesus has power. But the Holy Spirit is a person. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit lives in each and every Christian. You have Him in you all the time. You say, well, how does He do that? Well, it's just a God thing. Come on. This is what God does. God knows how to do that, and He's doing it. He's living in all of His people. And it's very, very real. God says you also have the life of Christ in you. That's kind of a statement that involves this supernatural existence of the Holy Spirit, as well as it's a proclamation in the covenant. You have the exchanged life, Christ in you now. This is what your new creation is made up of. And the Holy Spirit now empowers you to manifest the life of Christ in your actions. And the Spirit's presence in you is necessary for living your life for God as worship of Him. Absolutely necessary. But this does not mean that you always instinctively know what to do. You know, think, you know, like you get an idea, and then that idea, it just necessarily must be guidance from the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that think that way. But no, it's not necessarily that way. I mean, a lot of people make mistakes with that. Scripturally, God says He wants you to live for Him, worshiping Him according to His Word. So remember this principle. The Holy Spirit always works with His Word. Just memorize that in your heart. The Holy Spirit always works with His Word. I was talking to someone this week. We were talking about people who claim to be Christians, but they say they don't need the Bible. And this tragedy is becoming more and more popular in our day, not just isolated incidences. There are Christians everywhere starting to say they don't need the clear directions in the Bible for what to do. But here's what they say. I'm led by the Spirit. They'll tell you they're being led by the Spirit. But to say that you don't need the Bible, you don't need its guiding words, but yet you're supposedly led by God's Spirit is a rejection of the Holy Spirit. It rejects God's Word that God gave us by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit always works with His Word, which is Scripture. Just know that. He always guides you by the parameters and the precepts and His sure word, which is the Bible. And so I want to get to what He reveals about offering yourself to Him as living worship. He says there are necessities for it. And one is that you must rely on God's mercies for this. The only way to live your life to worship and for worship, in worship, according to the will of God, is because of His mercies. You've got to be spiritually saved. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. It's the mercy of God changing you, as Ruth was saying earlier, keeps you from everlasting destruction. But that mercy also made you into a living temple of worship. And this is what you are. And as a living temple, you're not living for Him to try to earn His mercy. So we really need to get this right, because there's all kinds of sacrifice language going on here. You are His temple, living for Him because you are already in His mercy. You already have His mercy. And Paul says, therefore, here. Notice that at the beginning of the statement. Therefore, I urge you, because by, through, these are different ways of seeing this Greek word, the mercies of God, therefore is Paul's pointer word. He's pointing us back to what he just said. He's going to magnify it. So he's pointing. You're being pointed to everything Paul said about God's mercy. Chapter 9 says, it does not depend on you willing or running, but on what? On God who has mercy. It says, but God has mercy on you because He wants to. Because He wills to. 11, right before this, 30 through 32 says, you were disobedient to God, but now He's shown you mercy. God consigned all people to disobedience so that He may show mercy to them. The Spirit has been telling you that your salvation is completely by God's mercy. And that's where this pointer is aimed. So based on that mercy, that's where the pointer is looking. That's where we're looking. Present, based on that, present our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. Setting apart your thoughts, your actions, every moment acceptable to God in His mercy. You know, don't seek to do this because you're trying to make yourself acceptable. That's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. You are already accepted in Christ Jesus. And so now, because of His mercy, because of His acceptance, do what is acceptable to Him as your worship. This is what He's saying. Don't present your body to Him out of fear that you're going to lose salvation if you don't. Doesn't want you to do this because you think that you're going to earn credit, you're going to gain points with God. It's not going to work that way. That's not what worship is. Come on. Living your life as worship is not a job to earn. To earn His mercy? No, to earn anything. You are urged to live your life as worship because of His mercy. So do you see what this is? When we look at what all Paul's been saying, your life becomes thankfulness for His mercy. Your actions become adoration. The respectful appreciation for God is there when you do anything, anywhere. And what is going on is your life is worship. It's an experience of the Spirit and truth in this sense. Romans 15:30 says, the Spirit gives you Christian love. That's how you got it, from God. You didn't invent it yourself. And so when you worship, you're manifesting the love He gave you. And the worship is Christ's righteousness being shown. You get His righteousness as a gift. So don't get into the trap of presenting your body to God to get something from Him. A lot of Christians get into that trap. Well, that's not worship. Not worship from His mercy and pure love. And one of the problems Israel under the old covenant was trying to please God with this kind of a duty and payback ambition. We know we had that laid out for us. That's one of their biggest problems. They're trying to please God with this big duty and payback ambition all the time, all the time. But here's what you get from new covenant revelation. God has already blessed you immensely in His mercy. And so He wants you to live the life, the gift life that you have, the temple of God life you are, the recreated one you are. When He lived that life, you're turning the old covenant law of sacrifices on its head. See, when you manifest His life in your body, you're just displaying what you are. 1 Corinthians 6 says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And He says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, it says, glorify God in your body. Well, you've already been bought. You already are His living temple. And so if you're trying to earn something through glorifying God in your body, well, you're not worshiping. And so remember, the Spirit always works with His Word, right? Do this worship from what you learn from God, because you thoughtfully, reasonably, it's reasonable, it's rational, You are serving the Lord out of love like He wants. That's what you're doing. You're showing Him love. And you love Him only because He first loved you in His mercy. And when you fail to express it even, He still has mercy on you. He still does. So don't try to impress God with your worship. That's just self-oriented performance. Love Him in actions because you're designed for it. You're living as His vessel of mercy. And so this gets me to something else God requires. We don't want to get this kind of urging and then think it means, you know, doing all kinds of religious-looking things. Because that does happen. All kinds of stuff going on out there, Christians do. We don't want to start doing things that God's not thinking is worship. You know, you're going to have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind on this. That's how you discern what is acceptable to God. It's how you know what His will is. And otherwise, you're just choosing from an endless list of libraries of opinions that are all over the place, telling you all these kinds of ideas of things that you can do to be worshiping God with your life. The transformation comes from God's Word. And you need to become familiar with God's Word. Especially, and I like to say this, New Covenant Apostolic Revelation. Don't go back into Leviticus and Deuteronomy and start trying to live that life. And so now you have something for the Holy Spirit to work with you for your salvation when you get this Word. It's the only way that you're going to be on track. You know, I think back when I was first saved. Way back when I was first saved. I was a little boy. God's Word transformed me when I received and believed. That's our experience. That's our common experience as Christians. We are transformed when we receive and believe. And I have seen through the years the mind-transforming process going on since my rebirth in Christ. See it all the time. Knowing God's Word, believing God's Word, and applying God's Word is what transforms my actions, the things I do in respect to living the life of Christ. It's all about God's Word. Without God's Word, you're just in a desert, a spiritual desert. You know, and in the spiritual desert, without God's Word, you can just make up a bunch of stuff, and you know what you're doing? You're seeing mirages. You're just saying, oh, that must be the Holy Spirit leading me. No, it's a mirage. It's not real. The Holy Spirit always works with His Word. I think of God's Word, I think of 2 Timothy 3:16. And I know that 2 Timothy 3:16 is there to do what? To transform my mind. And what does it say? It says, all Scripture is inspired by God. And it says it's profitable for training in righteousness. And it says it equips me to be adequate for every good work. Well, that's for you too. That's for all of us. You know, so you get that and you feed on it to discern what's good and what's acceptable and what's perfect. Not what you think it is, but what the Lord says it is. So that you can do good works as worship. And the Spirit wants you to be passionate about the Word of God. That's why I'm always urging us to live according to the Word. I urge that over and over and over and over again. So you want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Well, to do it, your mind needs to be transformed. So get to know the Word of God and get to know it so that it becomes your own thoughts. You know, uphold Scripture as one of the most valuable treasures that you have. More important than anything. You've got to read it. You got to listen to it being preached. You got to fall in love with it. You got to get into the details. You're listening to the voice of Jesus in His Word, in the Scriptures. You're listening to God's Spirit-led apostles who He gave revelation, progressive revelation over time. And so that you will know the transformation is happening, you know, that it's taking place when the Word of God becomes your thinking. You know, it just becomes your words. It becomes your actions. You don't, you just, it's like, you may not even realize it, but others do. The Lord does. And it's what's supposed to be happening. So let's get to God's Word again. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We got to go to God's Word as a standard. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells you God's Word performs its work in you. Now that's you. That's me. And I see this all the time, over and over again. I learn the Word and then I notice God's Word begins performing its work in me. I notice things like discernment is there. I don't think of myself as a very discerning person. But with the Word of God, I have the Word of God discernment. And I have that. And I'm discerning. Because the Word of God is like nourishment to me. You eat it. And it gets in you. And it becomes part of you. And the next thing you know, you just have discernment. It just comes to you. You just know the answer to things. You can figure out what's going on in people's lives instantly. And you're going to talk and you're going to act with surety, with accurate spiritual intuition. It really is. It's just an intuition. But you're not basing it on a mirage in the desert. You're basing it on the living water that you're taking in. You know, people will be amazed at the insights you have. And you'll find that you don't need to try very hard. Why is that? Because God's word is part of you. It's been transforming your mind. And all of us can do this. Seek God to govern your mind. And you do that through the renewing that's through his word. Use your renewed mind then to govern your body. See? This is how it works. And you do this intentionally. And when you do it intentionally, what are you doing? You're worshiping. You're worshiping. That it's not a works-based thing. It's a worshiping-based thing. And so now I want to get to some specifics, some practical things for living life as worship according to the will of God. Now, they're in this passage. There's all kinds of things, but they're in this passage. From morning to night, you make decisions. I make decisions. We wake up each morning, we face the day, more decisions are going to be made by you. But you got to make decisions. Marriage, friends, family, money, whatever it is. You proceed with routines, you proceed with plans, you got goals. You take action from morning to night over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's just this routine goes on and on. And here's what the Spirit is saying. As you do this, purposely, by the Spirit according to the Word, present your body as a living sacrifice to God. You're alive, but it's a living sacrifice. So there's a meaning there. Going to God's Word again, 1 Peter 2:5. It tells you that you have been created. This is what God did. He created. He's the creator. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You have a prescribed routine that you were created for. And Romans 12 here tells you to set yourself apart for this. That's how you do this. And to fulfill this, you're going to have to be purposeful. You're going to have to be thoughtful. And you need to intentionally present yourself. That's how you worship. Think. Whatever I do with my body, I need to be doing it to manifest the life of Christ. Whatever I do, wherever, whatever I do. You see the thinking? That's the presentation. Chapter 6 says, consider yourself to be dead to sin. Okay? But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, that's the life. And so what you're doing is, you got the Word, you got the Spirit, so you consider that. Let's consider that, right? That's what the Scripture says to do. I am dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus in whatever I do, whatever I'm going to do with my body. And then what do? Whatever you want to do. You see how it gets? It's actually beautifully easy worship. Do whatever you want to do according to this. And what is happening is your life reflects what you are spiritually. And God's word keeps going and going and going in that passage, by the way, and it says, do not let sin rule in your body so that you obey its desires. Do not go on presenting your body parts to sin as tools of unrighteousness. And then it goes on and says, present yourself to God as alive from the dead and your body parts as tools of righteousness to God. That's the living sacrifice right there. You're presenting yourself alive from the dead. From the dead self, the spiritually dead self, while presenting your active body as a living sacrifice. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And so you're alive from the dead in Christ, but here's the thing. You know that you have the ability to go in sinful directions, right? You have the ability even this morning, even right now in your thoughts, to go in sinful directions at any time. And you know that you have more than just an ability. You know that you do it. And so when you turn your back on sinful things, here's what you're doing. You're sacrificing those desires, which are the old desires, trying to come back in to infect you. And so the sacrifice is not being conformed to the sinful aspects of this world. Again, the sacrifice is not to be conformed to the sinful aspects of this world. So as you act the way God says is acceptable, he hears you doing this as worship in singing with your life every single moment. That's what he hears. That's you. You're a worship song. And when God sees you making decisions to conform to Him instead of conforming your body to sin, He sees you with arms raised up into the air in pure worship. Now, chapter 8 says the old lost flesh you that you used to have, the spiritual part that had to die, and it did die in your salvation, it said you existed with that sinful flesh as your master. It was a controller. It uses this term, you were in bondage to it. It's like you were bound as a slave to a master. It owned you. Lost and separated from God. That was your existence. But through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, you've been reconciled to God. And the old spiritually lost you was crucified with Christ. And so now this new spiritually alive you has been raised from the dead with Christ Jesus. And when you were spiritually lost, this was the problem. You could not put to death the sinful deeds of the body. Now, you could have done all kinds of religious-looking things. You could have been, you know, keeping a bunch of rules. But you cannot put to death the deeds of the body by the body. That's the point. When you're dead spiritually, you have no authority over what controlled you. Paul says the body is sold into bondage to sin for the very purpose of producing sinful deeds. He says you cannot put to death the sinful deeds of the body by the body. I put to death the sinful deeds of the body by the Spirit. Because we still carry around the carton with us everywhere we go, right? And 7:5 says, when you were lost in the flesh, that was the state of lostness, you were in the flesh with no spiritual life, in the past, we would call it spiritual death, 7:5, it says the sinful passions were the only thing at work in your body parts to bear fruit for only one thing, for death. And then 8:12, it says that by the Spirit, not by the flesh, you put to death the sinful deeds of the body to bear fruit for manifesting Christ's life. And that's the sacrifice. That's the worship. Now, all this is the mercies of God. Don't put to death the deeds of the body that don't have anything to do with sin. Put to death the sinful deeds of the body. You know, do that to bear fruit for living Christ in manifestation. You know, everything in Romans tells you about presenting your body as living sacrifice to God as worship. That's manifesting Christ by not being conformed to the sinful things of this world. The sinful deeds. And I'm really going to dwell on this for a moment because it's so important. You know, because this sacrifice is not talking about dying to trillions of cultural things we exist in that we have nothing to do with sin. You're going to make your life look kind of like a hermit or a monk or some weird person out there, giving up everything that just goes on around you in this world. Your sacrifice is not about those things. Paul's not saying die to other things of the world, you know, that God does approve of. He's talking about the sinful stuff. You can do this worship while eating and drinking foods that the world eats, by being entertained by fun that the lost are entertained by. You can do this worship while exercising, listening to all kinds of music. You know, there's like, my kids were telling me the other day that there's like hundreds of different genres of music with names to them. But you can do this while listening to all these kinds of, you know, music that sounds like it's from some other country. You can do it while wearing trendy clothing styles, while investing and saving and spending, while being involved with politics, with art, tourism, hobbies, professions, all this kind of stuff. Because this is all about avoiding sin. And so while you're doing any of those things, live in such a way that it's good and acceptable and perfect to God. Hebrews 13:16 speaks of good, acceptable, and perfect sacrifices. It says, don't neglect doing good and sharing. Well, it says because God is pleased with those kinds of sacrifices. So then, all right, wherever I am, what do I need to do? Do good and share. See how it is? Christ's life is governing you in each step for good. Wherever you are, doing whatever you are, He's governing you, but not for evil. So drink, but put selfishness to death. Share with others who need to drink. That's a good and acceptable sacrifice. Eat delicious food, but eat being thankful for God's provision. Be entertained by fun stuff, but avoid being entertained by sin. You can exercise to be healthier, faster, leaner, stronger, bigger, but don't exercise to be immoral or arrogant. Invest, save, spend, but not for sin to be accomplished. Be involved with politics. You know, we're in a republic. In this particular country, I'm not preaching to Chinese right now. I'm not preaching to Cuba. But in our republic, it lawfully recognizes that you have a part in it all. That's how we exist. You know, I knew a Christian man. He told me he refused to be involved with the government. American guy, fully capable. And he said that he didn't even vote. And here's what he said. He said it was worldly, which he meant it was somehow sinful. But the system of government of our country exists with citizens being involved. That's how it exists. Being involved is not sinful. We have to operate to get it to function right. But here's the thing. Making government a replacement for spirituality or for the church, for the everlasting kingdom of God, if you do that, then it's sinful. So be involved for the glory of God. Be involved with art, but not like pornography or sinful messages. You know, art itself is not sinful. Come on. You know, music and movies, crafts, paintings, photography, it's not inherently sinful. I was talking to a man a few months ago. He said it was wrong for Christians to watch any kind of movie. Big emphasis on any here. He said that even movies that Christian producers and writers make are compromises. He said they're of the world, and so they're not pleasing to God. But the Bible never says that art is of the world. I mean, what is your definition of the world? There's a biblical definition. You know, movies are just art. And when the Bible speaks of the negative things of the world, it speaks of the truly sinful things. That's the definition. Truly sinful. Like you said, and it's not deep, people. And this is where you get the discernment by the Spirit with the Word. It's like lying, fornication, homosexuality that was mentioned back in the beginning of Romans. That was so clear, right? And stealing, and hatred, and worshiping false gods. Easy things to identify biblically as sin. Just don't partake in those things. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the art medium itself is worldly in some sort of bad and unacceptable way to God. The message is in the medium. And so the message in the medium can be sinful. But art can be God-glorifying. And it's the same way with tourism and hobbies and games and professions and, you know, on and on and on and on. You can be living worship in all of that. Right where you are, you are dead to sin. But you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. So do whatever you want to do that is not sin. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is another mind-renewing truth on this. It says, oh, this is just so simple. Some people like aphorisms. You ever heard what an aphorism is? An aphorism is just a tight little sentence that packs a huge punch with a lot of truth. That's an aphorism. And it says this, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I mean, it pretty much sums up this sermon, right? Very simple definition of your life is worship. So we all know that we're going to do something each moment of the day. And we know what the Spirit's saying. You, me, we need to be living worship. Worship in love. Present our bodies to God. Set ourselves apart to do what is acceptable, what's right, and do it right there in the middle of everything. You are in the world, but you have been made into a God worshiper. He's not laying burdens on you. He's saying, don't be conformed to this world in respect to the sinful things. And so to know what real sin is, God's going to renew your mind by His Spirit with His Word. And you will discern what the will of God truly is. You will know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And that's what you need for doing all to the glory of God. Your whole life becomes a worship session. And God hears you glorifying Him as beautiful worship every single day. Amen? Now, recapping all this, we've been looking at living as worship according to the will of God. We're not in a desert looking at a mirage. We're taking the living water in. We're feeding on the meat and the milk. We're getting it all. You worship because of God's mercy, and God's mercy saved you. God's mercy changed you. You're not trying to earn His mercy. You cannot earn His mercy. We looked at living your life as worship because it's His mercy at work in you, because you have it. And we saw that it's an expression of love for Him. And we saw that it requires being transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we will be able to discern what is good and what is acceptable and what His will truly is. And we saw that practically Living life as worship according to the will of God has to do with presenting your body to Him as a living sacrifice. And it means avoiding conformity to the sinful things of this world. Put to death the sinful deeds of the body, of the old man that was put to death spiritually already. Bear the fruit of living Christ's life in manifestation. Do everything for the glory of God. Amen.